Hi, welcome to Gridiron Gurus. It's week three of the season. Thank you for watching on Facebook Live, or if you're listening to the podcast, thank you as well. I'm Travis Lazarczyk alongside Drew Bonifant for the Kennebec Journal and Morning Sentinel. We're joined this week by Gardner head coach Joe White. Joe, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And coach, I mean, team's sitting in a pretty good spot right now, 1-1 on the young season, and impressive win over Morse to start. Good game against Cape in the last weekend. What are some of your thoughts on how the team has gone about the season so far?
Still excited, and it's nice to see. They were upbeat to start, as I've said, and a big win over Morse. Made us feel like we're in the right spot as far as the Class C South is concerned. Kids hung tough against Cape, good Cape team. Made a couple of costly mistakes that they capitalized on, but overall, it's we're still rolling along, and coming back, looking forward to this week, which is not an easy test either.
Take kind of an overall look at these two games. What was the team's perspective coming into the season, moving from Class B to Class C after a tough year in Class B last year? Was the team kind of energized by that move? What did that do for their spirits to kind of come, face a whole new tier of competition?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a welcome transition for sure by a lot of people, particularly the players, but the town included. Mm-hmm. And people in Gardner like to watch football on Friday night, and it's an important part of the community. And we've had, we've been down the last couple 3 years, and so to know that we'd been realigned and playing against some comparable teams. Kids were really excited about the prospects of winning and being in some of these games and winning some games. And I think that was the biggest, with all due respect to the kids, their biggest gripe was, when are we going to catch a break? Mm-hmm. And I totally felt that from them, and I empathized with them about that, because it really seemed like we weren't getting too many, especially towards the end of the year. Last year we had a close game against Mount Blue, and we played Coney tough. Breaks didn't go our way, and, mm-hmm. and we talked about possibly being in playoffs, and so they just were looking for that break, and I think it came with the realignment in some respects, and it was enough motivation to get them working hard in the off season and come back with a positive outlook on 2017.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a 2-6 record for the team, but it was kind of deceiving in that. And like you said, a lot of close calls with some teams. And it seems like to this point, I know that the Cape loss was kind of the story, but with the Morris game, it seems like things have kind of started to go more the team's way so far this year.
Yeah, and some of that has to do with, the spirits are up, but also the X's and O's, there's been some continuity to it. Go back to 2013, you've had a couple of different head coaches. You've had two, three different style offenses and defenses. So now we're 2 years in a row running a wing T offense and 3-3 stack on defense. And it's the kids' second year running through it, and so they're starting to click a little better. Mm-hmm. You start to see, a little sharper execution out of some of the stuff versus feeling your way the first time through. And so the second time around is things are starting to click and become a little more fluid. So they're confident in what they've got to do.
You had the close game against Cape, had the ball with a chance to tie the game or win it in the last few minutes, and got another test come up with Levitt, and I'm going to say some numbers that might scare you. Levitt, 128 points on the season, 55 points in their first game, 73 points in their second. What's step one in terms of slowing these guys down?
Right. So basically, don't chase. They do a lot of different things on offense, mm-hmm. and so linebackers can't get caught looking in the backfield. Secondary can't get caught looking in the backfield. They gotta just stay dialed in, read their keys, drop to their zones, whatever their responsibilities may be, and not stray. It's a pretty potent offense that Mike Hathaway has going over there, and you watch those games and it looks like 7-on-7. And I mean, they've reaped the benefits of actually participating in that 7-on-7 stuff. Obviously it shows their mid-season form offensively, if nothing else. I think just tighten up defensively, again, keep it basic, Probably run just a couple different coverages. No one gets behind you, and then hopefully if you can shut that down, you can stop them on the run and see what you can do offensively. Right? But you can't get in a shootout with them.
It seems to be, you know, the Leavitt games excluded, a lot more competitive games this season around the state. Part of that is probably, you know, putting teams where they should have been, like you guys, and maybe, you know, some of the teams that have gone down to the Class E with the developmental programs. Mm-hmm. One game that didn't happen in Class E this past week was supposed to be the longest road trip in maybe Maine football history when Trape and Kittery was going to go to East Machias to play Washington Academy. Trape wasn't able to come up with enough kids and had to forfeit the game. They won't be punished, and they shouldn't be. That's part of this growing process. But it is kind of one of the unintended consequences of letting programs kind of build at their own pace, is that a team in Class D like Washington Academy, which was kind of hoping for and, you know, looking forward to playing a game, a competitive game, doesn't get one. Now, they get the win, so it doesn't hurt them in the long run, but they, you know, would have liked to, you know, not go 2 weeks without a game.
I mean, it kind of raises the question, if we're going to do this Class E thing, do all those games have to be between other Class E teams and kind of let teams that are in the same boat kind of hash out, you know, amongst themselves and not get those Class D teams that are playing for playoffs involved? I mean, I don't know if that's something that either of you has an opinion on about those Class D teams. Is that just, is it best to kind of keep the schedule, let them play their own? I know that mostly do. You know, Class D teams mostly play other Class D teams, but is it best to kind of not get them involved in the?
I think we have to see if this becomes a regular occurrence, then yes, nobody's going to want to play them.
Right.
But if this is just a one-off and Trape has enough kids and they finish out the schedule and this doesn't happen with any other Class E teams or Class D for that matter, then, yeah, I can still see schools playing them. I know you guys aren't playing out of your conference or out of your class this year, but you are playing cross-conference against Winslow.
Yeah, we'll play Winslow. So. We're going to play Coney.
Oh, that's true. Pardon me.
So yeah. That'll be your one cross-conference game. But I think this whole thing is very interesting with respect to enrollment. I think it's reflective statewide. There are a third fewer kids at Gardner now than there were 25 years ago when I played. We were a Class A school, and it's just dropped off dramatically. I know there's teams who are struggling. I think Deerago, for example, and I'm thinking of Jordan Hersom, whose father coaches out there. And,
right.
And, boy, you know, you got 16, 17 kids, you know, maybe 20, playing ball, and your QB and your tailback get hurt. And, you know, geez, you're dragging, you know, parts to different games and different places. Right. And there's a lot of schools that are struggling. We're fortunate. You know, I still have 60-plus kids hanging around, and so we've run out of equipment. We're in a good spot, but there's some teams struggling, and so I don't know how you overcome a lack of numbers in a small town. I don't.
It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out for the rest of this season, and I'm sure it'll be addressed by the main principals come the off season.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a bus ride. The Trape players were just dying to miss out on.
Yeah, I'm sure that 250 mile one way, 500 mile round trip is something
sure
that the bottom line people at Trape are happy not to pay for the gas mileage and, you know, food or whatever. Let's look at your schedule a little bit. I know there were some eyebrows raised when. Not that Gardner went to Class C, but went to Class C South. Were there any concerns about not seeing some of the old rivalries that you would have had? No, you are seeing a few, like, you know, Winslow, for example, and Leavitt's a team that Gardner saw when they were both in Class B.
Yep.
Coney, obviously, is the big one.
Morse.
Morse is another old PTC team. So it's really not that different a schedule at all for you guys.
No. And actually, when all of this was being proposed, I was asked, about a move to the South. Can't remember how many teams were in the north, but it might have been 12, and there were, you know, 10 down south or some such thing. I looked over some numbers and I looked at the competition thing. C South seemed to be where there was a lot of really good competition. Mm-hmm. As far as what we were looking to match up with. That's not a slight on the North by any respects, but you know, you got Waterville, Nokomis, teams we've played. Winslow be an exciting game. We'll get back to playing Winslow again. I kind of thought in the back of my mind, if we could put on a good showing in C South, than, you know, state champ. You know, state championship is going to be C-South versus C-North, and I think teams in the South are pretty tough. Our lineup is no, I mean, despite dropping down, I mean, that doesn't mean anything as far as the level of competition. Certainly we're not playing Meso and Brunswick, and we're okay with that for a little while till we get our feet back underneath us. And but, you know, Levitt, Cape, Freiburg, you know, York, you can go right down the line. Winslow, Coney, it's, you know.
It's certainly not an easy schedule by any means.
No, so, yeah. No, we were fine with being placed wherever, and we're just going to play it, go with it.
Okay. True. Now that we're into, you know, 2 weeks in, a quarter of the way through an eight-game season, what's something that's maybe surprised you?
Coney struggles on offense, in particular, getting the ball to Jordan Roddy through the air. Mm-hmm. Has been something that's been kind of surprising. He had a good game the first game of the week, game of the season against Falmouth, 7 catches for 91 yards and touchdown, but then no catches in the Skowhegan loss. They've been trying to use him often as a running back, which I can understand is the way to get the ball in your best player's hands.
Right.
But it's just surprising to see a guy who caught 17 touchdowns not being targeted to the other. I mean, sure. And target him now again, but I mean, I know that they have a different quarterback in from last year, and that's caused the changes, but it'll be interesting to see if in these coming weeks if the Rams try more formations and tactics to try to get him the ball more through the air. Is it something you've been surprised to see so far?
Yeah, pleasant surprise is Waterville being 2-0. This is a team that went winless last season and didn't really have a lot of close games. But they opened the season with a good 21-7 win over a Class B school in Mount Blue. Had a shutout win last week at Madomic Valley, playing much better defense. And the Panthers are a contender again in Class C North for a playoff spot.
And I mean, if we're keeping along this topic of surprising things, Oak Hill in Class D is 2-0. And I remember talking to Stason, just said before the season, he was saying we're young players on offense, young players on defense, defensive line, new guys in the backfield. And they've come out and they pretty much rolled. They had a 2-score win over Poland. They crushed Yarmouth last week. And they're just doing everything. They have a freshman quarterback who's in Gavin Rostron, who's getting it done. A really good running game, a really good receiver in Darren Bailey. And they've kind of vaulted to the top of that picture in Class D South. And not that anybody didn't think that they weren't going to be one of those teams competing, but it clicked really quickly. Yeah. For
not them. A lot of kids left on those teams that won back-to-back-to-back state championships a few years ago, but it's success breeds success, and they're, you know, getting right back into it.
Mm-hmm.
A game or two that's on your eyes for this week?
Winthrop, Monmouth, and Madison, I think is going to be an interesting game, and it's you know, Madison's been rolling. They're one of 5 teams in the state that has scored over 100 points so far this season. So they bring a big offense to the picture, and so does Wells. And Wells kind of took it to Winthrop Monmouth in the first game.
Right.
So is this going to be kind of a repeat story of that, or has Winthrop Monmouth kind of gotten its feet under it, and is this going to be a more competitive game? You're going to see, you know, this could be a big win for Madison to kind of further show how far the game they are, or it could be a game where Winthrop Monmouth kind of works itself back into the mix. And another game is Skowhegan and Messalonsky. Two 1-1 teams kind of going at it, looking for momentum. Messalonsky was a favorite coming in, and
sure,
you know, a tough game here, and they could be 1-2. Are, you know, is that something that they need to bounce back from? Is that something that's, you know, are there a little bit of you know, panic alarms going off there? Or, you know, are they going to kind of right the ship and kind of stop Skowhegan's progress after a game after winning against Coney? So a lot, I think, is on the line there. You know, it can go either way. How about you?
Mentioned them already. Waterville, big game this weekend against Winslow. That Battle of the Bridge has, you know, been moved up to week 3 rather than the final week of the regular season for, you know, the quirks of scheduling this season. But Waterville is looking at it as a big test. Like, you know, Matt Gilley mentioned what MDI head coach Mark Shields said. After, you know, before his week 1 game against Winslow, you learn a lot about your team when you play a good team like this early in the season. You know, Waterville 2-0, have they been tested yet? Probably not. They're going to get a good test this weekend, and they'll kind of see where they stand the rest of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that'll do it for us this week on Gridiron Gurus. We thank you for watching. Coach, we thank you for being here.
Thank you.
For Drew, I'm Travis. Enjoy the games you get out to this weekend. We'll see you next week.